I think we better get started, given that we have, say, a packed schedule. And first of all, I mean, I'm Lorenzo, I work for ARM, and I asked Alex, Jürgen, Bjorn to put forward a proposal for a joint microconference for the VFIU, IOMMU, and PCI subsystems, basically because they're becoming more and more connected together. So I thought it makes sense to go through the main topics on the mailing list at once in one microconference. I mean, the good news is that we succeeded and we can run a microconference. The bad news is that we have just 3 hours to go through all those topics. So instead of talking, I think I better shut up and give, possibility to people to present. I mean, I think we are taking a break around 3:35 or so, depending on how things go for the presentations. And roughly speaking, I mean, the microconference will be split in two parts owing to the topics themselves. The first chunk of presentation, well, a short introduction by subsystem maintainers. And then, I mean, the first part of the microconference will be focused on SVM, shared virtual memory, and IOMMU, and the second part on ongoing PCI discussions on the mailing list, and that will wrap up the microconference. So, well, it's supposed to be interactive, so that's what we are all here for. So without any further ado, I think I will ask Bjorn to get started with an update on the PCI subsystem, and we get it from there. Thank you.
Change slides too. All right, I'm Bjorn Helgis. Work for Google and maintain PCI. So this is just briefly what has happened in the last year or so. Thanks to some great work from Arndt and others, we have a new host bridge registration interface. We had previously had issues with every time we needed a new feature, we'd have to add a new interface, but now we have an extensible one. We shouldn't have to do that. Matthew and Lorenzo did some great work to clean up IRQ mapping, which used to be broken for hot plug devices. David Woodhouse did some nice bar map cleanup, and Christoph did some good IRQ vector allocation stuff that removes some of the MSI and MSIX details from drivers. And we finally got some support for ACPI bridges on ARM64, which helps me out a lot. As far as new stuff, we have support now for ASPM L1 substates, extended tags that CNON added. Kishan did a lot of work to add support for devices that work in endpoint mode. In other words, you have Linux running on an adapter that is controlling an endpoint that you plug into some other system. Lorenzo did some config space work to make it more architecturally compliant. And we now support config accessors that are not locked system-wide. That's for like mmconfig and ecam. Now, for what's common or what I see on the mailing list, I'm hoping that because of ACPI support in ARM64, I hope that we see fewer new native host bridge drivers. Last year I had a list of probably a dozen. That takes a lot of my time. I added them up. It's over a third of the commits last year were just for native drivers. And these are architecture-specific, system-specific things that I'm honestly not used to dealing with, because on x86, they don't exist. We just use the ACPI driver. All the system-specific stuff is in the BIOS. And so it makes it easier for me, and I think it makes it easier for OEMs too, because if there's a problem, it's in their control. They don't have to depend on me to fix it. resource assignment has been is a perennial issue. especially with respect to hot plug. We have some complicated code that works some of the time, but it's, I don't think anybody feels really confident, so I expect there's probably more work there. We've had some recent work that Sinan has done for CRS, which is, he'll tell you more about it, but config request retry status. We have a topic on that later. There's also some patches pending for AER. There's some issues with races between hot plug and AER reporting, and we sometimes report errors to too many drivers, depending on the topology of the system. So there's some work to be done there. MPS is has to do with the maximum packet size on PCIe links. And that's another thing that is, you know, we have some support for it, but it's not ideal. There's some issues with it, especially when we start talking about adding peer-to-peer DMA and so on. So I expect there's some work in both of those areas coming up. That's all I've got, so we'll hear more about more details, I guess, this afternoon.
Do you want to go next? I'll let you finish up SVM. Because I actually have no slides, so I'll just switch back to this. So I'm Alex Williamson. I am the VFIO maintainer. Recap of VFIO for the past year. Ironically, for this microconference, the big improvement in VFIO was mediated devices, which involve neither IOMMUs nor PCI. So the idea there is we have software-defined devices by a vendor driver that pretend to be a real device and expose parts of a device, so mainly used for vGPUs. SVM I see as being one of the big areas of work that we see coming up for VFIO. So this conference is particularly relevant to what we, I think, expect we'll see in the next few months. So that's really all I have to say.
So hello, I'm Jörg Rödel. I work for SUSE and maintain the IOMMU code in the Linux kernel. So for the SVM introduction, I wanted to give a short overview of the current state of IOMMU code in Linux and what happened since last year. So we currently have 15 IOMMU drivers, and some of the recent additions are, in no particular order, by the way, is the beginning of the explicit IOTLB flushing, an extension to the IOMMU API to lower the rate of hardware TLB flushes necessary. We got the DMA IOMMU code for ARM64, which is a common DMA API implementation, which is independent of the IOMMU driver and is used by, is currently only used on ARM64. The IOVA code, which is in use by ARM64 and x86, gained some very impressive scalability improvements. So the code now scales linearly with the number of CPUs, which it didn't before because of a number of global locks that is solved now. IOMU groups are now a mandatory feature for the IOMU drivers, which also took a long time to happen. We got a IOMU core representation of single IOMMUs with SUSEFS support, so every driver, every hardware IOMMU is now visible in SUSEFS, at least if your architecture supports that. We got IORT support, which is an ACPI table for ARM IOMMUs. Recently, the queue flushing code was unified between the AMD and Intel IOMMU driver. And also important that our page table code gets more and more lockless. So the AMD and Intel page table code is already lockless for some time. Recently, the ARM implementation became lockless too. And this is a great improvement for scalability. So what are the next steps, or at least what I hope to be the next steps? We move on with the work to move more IOMMU code into the core, because lots of code can really be shared by drivers. The scalability improvements that have happened on x86 need to be continued on ARM64. The lockless page table code was already an important step in this direction. We put life into this TLB flushing extension by making drivers to support it and converting the users to use it. And an important topic maybe for today is unify the existing SVM implementations. We have currently two of them upstream, a third one coming up, and yeah, what we are talking also about today is SVM virtualization and yeah, whatever you guys come up with in the future. So, and then since we talk about SVM a lot today,
question on the explicit TLB flushing. What's the use case? And so you allow device driver to invalidate caches?
Yeah, currently the IOMMU API has two functions for mapping and unmapping.
Yeah.
So map and unmap.
Yeah.
And these functions require the IOMMU TLBs to be in sync with what they do. So after every IOMMU unmap call,
you have
to flush the IO TLB, which is not really necessary in many cases.
That's implicit.
So there's a new function now, which is called unmap fast,
okay,
which doesn't give this guarantee. And there are three new functions to do an explicit TLB flush, which you have to do now if you use unmap fast.
There's also flush device TLB. Sorry? There's also flush device IO TLB as well?
Yes.
That's implicit.
All TLBs that might hold any information from that page table that is involved, okay, which includes device TLBs, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, as it happens, for VFIO today, we do a complete we do a flush for every unmapped page, which is quite too much. So, there's room for improvement there. Yeah. And since we talked so much about SVM today, I want to give a short introduction about what it really is. As you can see on this slide, it's an abbreviation for shared virtual memory and not secure virtual machine, as you might think. So what it is in a nutshell. In short, it is a feature to give devices direct DMA access to process address spaces without pinning the memory. So one device can access multiple address spaces of userland processes in Linux. Most of the magic of that happens in the IOMMU, and the feature consists of, at least on PCI, consists of three parts. First is ATS, which is already known, the Address Translation Service, device TLBs. The new addition is first PRI, the Page Request Interface. It allows devices to recover from I/O page faults. So a device can request a specific page to be paged in and gets notified when the page is there. And yeah, and PassID, which plays the part of allowing access to multiple address spaces, it is the peripheral address space identifier. Yeah, so you can have up to 1 million IDs per device, but it's device dependent. A device doesn't have to support that many IDs. So how does the flow work on PCI at least? So a device sends an ATS request as usual. The IOMMU can't translate it, so it sends back an ATS failure. Now the device has PRI support, sends a peripheral page fault request, PPF request, which causes the IOMMU to generate an interrupt for the IOMMU driver, which then, from where Linux takes over, handles the page fault, makes sure the page is mapped. Then the Linux kernel sends a completion message to the IOMMU hardware, which then sends a PPF completion message to the device. And now the device continues and sends a new ATS request, which now succeeds because the device, because the page is mapped now. So that's what it's all about. As I said, PassIDs are there to identify which process address space to access, and they are implemented not as specific messages, but as prefixes to existing messages. It's in PCI called a transaction layer prefix. which is put before ATS and PRI messages. Currently upstream, we have two implementations of that for the AMD and the Intel IOMMU driver, and the third one, the ARM one, is posted, but currently not yet upstream. So we have talked about this already in the past, but there is a lot for that. There is a lot of code duplication going on, and I think since the features are pretty much identical between, or the features that are pretty much identical between the IOMMUs, there's a lot that can be shared. For example, the whole page fault path and the whole page fault handling, and how it interacts with the core code. This can all be unified, and it needs, yeah, of course, a generic extension of the IOMMU API. Currently, we have IOMMU-specific APIs, and we need to get to a point where we have a generic interface, I think. Yeah. Any questions about SVM? Does anyone know what SVM is and how it basically works?
Is the page like temporarily pinned until a DMA completes, or
no? There's nothing pinned.
So
if the page happens, if
the page could receive a failure. Sure, but on the CPU, there's no explicit request translation. It's part of the loader store, right?
It's the same principle.
Yeah, so if the
so the device gets an invalidation back when you want that page.
Okay.
So then it knows, hey, I'm going to use this
translation. Okay. So it's almost like it's pinned until it gets invalidated.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, so in this picture, when the PPF completion arrives at the device and it sends an ATS request again and the page has been unmapped again, then the whole process will start from the beginning again.
Is the device required to use ATS, or can it use PASID tagged regular reads and writes, and can they receive faults?
I think ATS is required, yeah. Oh. From what I know from the PCI specs, but I'm not 100% sure about that, but I think it's...
So using ATS says you trust the device's TLB to only return things that you've...
Yeah, actually ATS is required because you don't know how long the device uses this address, and you need a way to flush it out of its fuse or of its TLB.
Right.
So you need some kind of TLB on the device, or which is ATS.
What happens with ordering, like when you're trying to request and then getting the interrupt and then the mapping comes through, and then if you have further requests, what happens then?
What happens when?
With respect to ordering, like whether it's read or write for subsequent, requests.
You mean with subsequent faults?
Yeah, like subsequent
faults. There's a maximum number of faults a device can have in flight in parallel. And you configure that in the PRI PCI capability. So there's a maximum number that can be in flight in parallel. And you can answer them individually. They have an ID and it's called a tag there, but yeah. You can even answer multiple completions with one message that's also supported.
If you have switches under downstream, then you have different settings that you could set for relax ordering or something like that. And then you have multiple paths there in flight.
It is the responsibility of the device to ensure that none of its requests are still in flight before
under the switch, you may have multiple devices.
Okay.
When you get an ATS, is this a microphone?
Yeah.
Neat. Should I talk into it? If you use ATS, when the device returns a packet that says I'm ATS translated, the root complex just trusts it. And that's awful exciting because you can specify any physical address you want.
Yes, ATS is awful if you don't trust the devices. If there's firmware on the devices,
you don't trust it. So you're fucked, in general. Why are we here? Okay, cool.
Okay, then I think we can move on with the first talk and with the first discussion.
So I just did read the notes that Jörg put out for specification. So you should have no more than 3 slides. I had my 25 slides. I combined everything into 3 slides. Just to be sure. So I think the main focus of today's discussion is to, we are working on some interfaces for virtualizing IOMMU. And I'll come up with, why we are interested in doing this thing and also what our priorities are in terms of, what we would like to do first and move on to the next one. And the boxes in yellow are the key things that you're working on. One is the interface between user space and kernel, VFIO being the main transport for that. So mostly that's the main plumbing that we are currently focusing on. And of course, all of this focused on trying to make SVM work, right? So just to illustrate, I think Jörg gave a good explanation for what SVM is, and I'm trying to put a same mapping for how it is represented.
Putting GPA to HPA as the meaning of the second level page tables, and then you will stop making broken hardware. The second level page tables are not always GPA to HPA.
Understood.
Stop writing it.
Okay, I'll change that next time.
IOVA to HPA.
IOVA is the right name for it, though. Yeah, I think I stole this slide from some other deck and carried forward. So at least from a high level understanding, I think we have 2 levels of translation that happens for SVM. The first one is what we call as a first level translation. Again, it's not a GVA; it's probably process address space, virtual address to host physical address. And the second level actually is for IO virtual address, completely what the drivers use. Of course, when we actually put this in a virtual mode, when we are trying to do this inside the guest, the second level page tables mostly represent a clone of what your EPD looks like, right? So that's kind of protects the translation from within the guest actually to confine it within the guest address space. And the first level actually could be the virtual address space for within the guest. Okay, so that's the main form of translation. And from virtual IOMMU implementation, so the first goal that IOMMU performs is when we do direct assignment, it does give you full protection, at least for within the guest, actually, without the driver device being able to DMA to other parts of the system physical address. So that part is already done. You don't even need a virtual IOMMU implementation to achieve something like that. But the reason why we would like to do virtual IOMMU is for uses like, if I want to run DPDK from within the guest, for example, then you would need to map the virtual address space for the process inside the guest to be confined to within the guest address space. Okay, so that's one of the use cases. The second one is if I have SVM-capable devices, of course, you need to expose a IOMMU inside the guest. That's a second use case. And of course, when you have greater than 255 vCPUs in the guest, which is not too far to think about, then interrupt remapping is a required architectural feature. So therefore, we would also need IMMU virtualization for the guest reason. Okay. Of course, we can do the other two things too. We can do IOVA inside the guest. Of course, that's interesting, but not the top priority that we are currently looking for. There are a lot of performance issues, I suppose, with those. The other thing is also for IOVA for word IO devices. That's also something that virtual IMMU can facilitate with, but that's not one of the key things that we are looking for, right? So the main thing is to use the virtual hardware to virtual IMMU to go ahead, Ben. Other than the second level, which would be set up already through VFIO, there is no other shadowing. The first level is goes in without any setup at all. We basically stick the same guest CR3, actually the passive tables, and the translation takes care of that after that. Does it answer your question?
I think so.
Okay. Currently, as you looked at, if you look at the previous slide, in the Intel's IMMU implementation, we only have one second level translation. So if we were to use SVM inside the guest, right, and you want to map multiple processes in the guest to the same device, we cannot do IO virtual address translation actually today, though, because the second level is reserved for the GPA to HPA type mappings, okay? And that cannot change. For every passet, you can only map to the same, the second level needs to restrict the guest address space availability. And we have, that is a current limitation of our current hardware, though, right? So in order to kind of make that happen, what we are currently planning to is there'll be a new capability that'll be exposed saying that, okay, for this particular piece of hardware, you can either have SVM or you can have your IO virtual addresses. Okay, so either this or that. And this is not a capability that's exposed by the physical hardware, though. This is only exposed in virtual IMMU implementation. And the whole purpose is to kind of make sure that we don't allow both, because the hardware is not capable of doing that.
And you'll never set this capability bit at the same time as the existing passive bit 40.
Existing passive bit. What's that? I don't hear.
There is an existing capability bit for passive.
There's a passive capability bit. That's
which
right.
Means that you support both at the same time. So your new bit will never be set at the same time as the existing.
That is correct. Yes. Yeah. The new bit will not be set when the hardware is not capable of doing it.
Note that you can use bit 28 for this, and the kernel will already fairly much do that.
Yeah. Bit 28, although is technically not in the spec right now. Although it wasn't there. It was there in earlier implementations, though. But I think the right thing to do would be to probably remove that, because no production hardware today supports bit 28. So I think the right thing is to probably, kind of not worry about that bit, but
the production
use
hardware that sets bit 28 has precisely this limitation.
Understood. Yep. but that not being production hardware, I think, we can probably pull that out. okay, so that's one new capability that we are planning to, the new spec will be updated in a couple of weeks, I suppose. And this is something just like how we have caching mode exposed. Real hardware will not show it, or only the virtual hardware would actually expose this feature. We are also moving to a global passet table. Currently, our passet tables are actually per IOMMU, and we are going to a global passet namespace for within the system. And I think one of the things I missed was when passet support limitation is present, by default, IOMMU driver would put the second level in a pass-through mode, in the mapping mode, actually. So that way we can preserve the translation for SVM, actually. So that's one of the implicit things we would do. If somebody needs to enforce an IOVA, then they can actually switch it by using a command line option, and that would enable IO virtual addressing, actually. Okay. There's more on passet table support itself. I think that's coming up in the next two topics, actually. The other things I had was
a question. Is the scope of the passet ID cable, is it defined by software, or is it defined by the IOMMU architecture?
It is just by software.
Okay.
The IOMMU would be pointing to the same tables, actually.
Okay, yeah. So hardware supports PES ID table per device.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yeah. And when we actually virtualize them, each of the PFs actually would have its own PASET table. Even we won't be using the same system PASET table for those, just for security and other things. Okay, and on the PCI side, I think I had, this is, you know, I mean, I can read the PCI spec multiple times and I come up with different conclusions each time. For some reason that we don't know, PASET and PRI capabilities are exposed only in the physical function. Virtual functions should not implement the capability, right? But ATS is a different beast. ATS, they say that it can be exposed in both the PF and the VF and can be enabled independently. And that's something, you know, our current implementation in Linux is probably broken for both. For PASET, we don't really even check whether it's a VF device or not. I think we need to change that. We have a patch set that's coming, but I don't know whether people here have any SRIOV devices that are PASET capable, or ones that they know are coming in the pipeline. Would be interesting to check if that's something that they're following or they're taking the same attribute for both ATS, PASET, and PRI together. There's also another one, I think, on the device level, there's a maximum PASET width, which could be, doesn't need to be the 2 to the power 20 thing. But I think those are uninteresting devices because it's difficult to kind of reserve this PASET space for devices that are less capable. So at least, you know, on real implementations, we don't expect to see any device that will support anything less than 20 bits. We would say that if it's not there, we would probably keep the device as not supported, you know, just reported as not PASET capable or something like that. Go ahead. This is in the capability. This is on the PCI SIG, actually, for PASET capability. Along with that, there is also a width, actually. Everybody knows to play cricket here, I suppose.
OK. So you said if there is some device with PES ID capability, let me know. I was curious, what device are you testing today?
We have just one graphics device, just one.
Is it like a GPU? Or?
It's a GPU, yeah. OK. Yeah. We have other devices in the pipeline, but you know, right now the only thing that's available is this graphics device.
And there's no PASET support on the PCIe root port, so there's no chance currently of a discrete device with PASET support.
That is
correct. There's still no plan for that?
Not as of this generation that we can talk about, yeah. Nope. So that's the basic thing. I think this is, from a SIG point of view, it is clear that every device can support something less, but I think from a practical point of view, it's difficult to support or reserve namespace, or like you hot plug a device with a few lesser capability, and you know your PASET is already given away in that range. It's kind of difficult to kind of play that game actually. So we would probably say that if it's not supporting the full 20 bits, then it's not worthy.
Well, you can just allocate the PES IDs top down from what the device supports, and then you also keep the lower ones free for devices that support less.
Yeah, but you could have two devices with lesser capability, and you know that range is already, like, if I have, if it says only 0 bits, it means it supports only one PASET, which is PASET 0, you're screwed. So I think it's not worth, I think we can solve it, but it's not something that's top priority, I would say. You know.
Well, existing devices support 16 bits, I think. At least the devices I know and I have.
So. I see. Okay, that's about what I had, actually. I think we'll move to the next presentation. Is it he? Yeah. He has much nicer pictures.
Okay, yeah, I'm Yi from Intel, and thanks for Ashok to have set up this discussion. And I'm going to talk about the shared virtual memory virtualization. And I will go to introduce some key flows about this virtualization. And for this one, it's a high level view of SVM, virtual SVM. You may notice that we have GVA to GPA and then GPA to HPA translation. So we can have SVM virtualized. So I think, if no question about these slides, I can just pass it and go to the next part. Okay. So this is a high arc of SVM virtualization. And we have a virtual IOMU exposed to guest so that guest can use SVM, which is I call the SVM virtualization. And this have four major flows in this picture. And there is APIs between the guest and the host. We are doing the full emulated IOMU interface, but the API should also be considered to be virtual IOMU compatible. And since some of guys are working on the virtual IOMU, today we will focus on the four major flows in this part. And we have bind guest PCID table and IOMU TLB invalidation from guest to host, and then the fault report and page request response. So any question for this? Okay. So here we have the first flow is bind the guest PCID table to host. Yeah. We will have the virtual IOMU driver program the context entry so that we can have it trapped to QEMU. And then we will use the IO control to connect with VFIO, internal VFIO. And then we will consume the IOMU API to notify our physical IOMU driver and then program the the context table in hardware. Yeah. So here we have open is to bind should be per device or per IOMU group. Yeah, I just mentioned this group this open and we will have detailed discussion by my colleague Jacob. Yeah.
A question, are you binding individual PSIDs or the whole PSID table from the guest?
Full PSID table, from guest to host.
Okay, so yeah. But the IOMU driver in the guest is a virtual IO IOMU, right? It's not like an emulated real IOMU.
You mean?
It doesn't look like an Intel VTD or like in some other real existing.
I didn't get a point, maybe you can.
The IOMU in the guest looks like an Intel IOMU to the guest?
It's emulating an Intel IOMU, It's actually, I don't think we can have Intel IOMU emulated in some other platform since there is some page format compatible issue, Okay, any other question? Okay, so here we have the IOMU TLB invalidation propagation. We will have some first level catch invalidation. So we need to have it propagated to from guest to host, and it's also from the IOMU driver in guest to issue the TLB flush, and the QMU will trap it and then. Through the VFIO and then submit to the hardware IOMU. And the TA is open is we need to abstract the invalidation information to be vendor agnostic since we are planning to have this API to be consumed by all the vendors which will support the SVM validation. Here we need a decision to the definitions, and we will have it detailed later. So next one is fault report, which is, we have unrecoverable fault. We need default will happen in the physical IMU, and it will be reported to we will report it through VFIO to the QEMU side, and the virtual IMU emulator will inject it to guest IMU. So guest will handle it. This is for the unrecoverable fault. Okay, so I can go next to slides. The next one is the flow is the same, but it's for the recoverable fault, which is also known as PRI, PRQ. Yeah, it's page request. So this is this flow is the same, but the data definition should be different from the previous slides. And for this part, we will have some vendor specific data. So I think we need to have some okay, go ahead. Previous slides, okay.
So you talked about unrecoverable error. What happens when you observe an unrecoverable error? Do you crash and burn, or can you recover from that?
This one?
No, no, the one you were showing, that one, yeah.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
So if you observe an unrecoverable error in your IOMMU driver today, if you want to generalize that, what is the current status and what kind of behavior do you expect from other IOMMU drivers?
Sorry, maybe you can speak louder, yeah.
So this is for unrecoverable faults, right? The slide that you are showing?
The slides, yeah, and it's for unrecoverable faults, yeah.
Yeah, so if you observe an unrecoverable fault in your Intel IOMMU driver today, what do you do? Do you kill the system, or is there a way to recover from that?
So there are two types of errors. Like one is device-specific unrecoverable error, like you get a DMA fault.
Uh-huh.
The other is an IOMMU internal cache, you know, some hardware issue or something like that. And when the hardware itself is broken, then you know we would probably shut down the system or something. But for the device-specific thing, we just report it to whoever the consumer is and let them decide what they want to do. Currently, we're just going to ask. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, currently we just print a message if a device gets a page fault. We don't even hook that back up to error reporting to the device driver yet, but we should. This is.
I mean, for PCIe unrecoverable faults, we recover from those, right? So we don't crash the system. I was asking if the same thing applies for IOMMU. Like, is there a way to recover from such a fault and go
That's
back?
Device specific.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, if no more question about this for the report, maybe I go jump to the next slide. The next one is page request response from guest to host. When we have the page request handled by the guest, guest will issue a page request response. And this is also needed to be propagated from the guest to host. Yeah.
So the vendor-specific data, you mean the...
Yeah, there is some vendor-specific data.
The queue entries and the PES ID table and everything, right? Or
in the page request, there are extra bits for the GPU to tell software precisely which context is taking the fault because they didn't correctly handle that on the GPU side.
So this is an extension from Intel, I see.
Yeah. Thanks, David.
This is
really
good for root complex integrated devices, not this
actually.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the next slides, I need to we have to expose some IOMMU capability to user space. QEMU may need to impose some imitation upon underlying physical IMU. This is for a standard device only. Some example is supported PES ID wireless. Yeah, guests should not have much have more PES ID wireless than host, and also the address wireless. Yeah, we currently we have two methods. One is from through the VFIO IO control, and the other one is through the IMU C5 hierarchy. Yeah, so we may have it discussed after our next session. Yeah. And the next session is my colleague Jacob to introduce the IMU driver extension for SVM. Yeah. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jacob Penn. I work at Intel as my colleague Ashok and G. So I think by now we have kind of have a bigger picture of the SVM, and we would try to what we try to achieve with virtualized IOMMU and virtualized SVM. So I just want to kind of still kind of emphasis on the piece that I'll talk about. Within in the bottom diagram here, the propagation, the communication is between QMU and, you know, guest kernel IOMMU driver, QMU and a VFIO, and then the host IOMMU driver. So here, I'm specifically talking about the extensions that we're proposing to support virtualized SVM environment. So the problem statement or the motivation here is to, you know, SVM primarily and some other in-kernel use as well. So even though the like the previous question, the emulated virtual IOMMU in QMU is Intel specific, but when it comes down to IOMMU driver, we want to make it generic. So we have certain design kind of a requirements we try to meet. First of all, is to support all IOMMU models, not just Intel or any vendor specific. And then we also want to be secure, being able to sanitize data, because this is basically a guest passing down, from user space passing down, invalidation data or bind request, and eventually we'll assign it to the physical IOMMU. Device context. So we want to make sure they are sanitized and secure. And as I just said, it's supporting both VM use and also kind of could have be other in-kernel drivers where they have a private interface other than VFIO. And we want to make the interface API to be more future-proof, because this is a kind of a moving target, so vendors may introduce further capabilities in the future. We want to be make sure the APIs are open to extension, but close to modification. So again, for Intel, it's mostly PCI device, but for IOMMU, but we want to support non-PCI device as well. And there also, I think, Zhang is going to talk about the para-virtualized IOMMU, so we want to make sure this APIs we can meet both emulated and para-virtualized IOMMU. So, I kind of group the proposed IOMMU APIs into certain, four groups. And the first one is the bind guest passive table. That's what he has mentioned when we let the guest to own the first level translation from GVA, a guest virtual address, to GPA. And we just assign the guest passive table pointer directly to the physical IOMMU and let guest own the first level pages. And the second API set was to do the pass-down invalidations, because like when the guest does map on map, and then flush translation caches, TLBs, and those got trapped in QMU and eventually passed down through VFIO to IOMMU driver. I think they may have a little bit kind of similar to the explicit TLB validation, similar, but in this case, we really want to just pass down whatever guest request is, because we don't really own, the first level pages. And for reporting, that's handling both you know, page request and also the unrecoverable fault. I think David had a previous kind of mention we need to handle IOMMU fault other than just print it out. And the next is not in the proposed patch set, the bind at MM with a passit. Right now it's just in kernel driver, but we can also expose that through VFIO to allow user space task to bind its MM and allocate a passit. I'll spend a little time elaborate on a little bit more. I don't intend to be a code review here, but I think sometimes code is the best way to visualize this. And so this is the first one, bind passit table is a very simple call. Basically allow VFIO to do to obtain the passit table pointer from QMU and then called IOMMU driver to bind the table, and which is in the pointer here is a guest physical address, and you also provide the size. So of course we'll sanitize the size, make sure it's not exceeding the size of the host. And the second one is a little bit more complicated, the pass down invalidation. So basically when this is the case, use case here is when the guest IOMMU driver does a unmap and or TLB flush, and that gets trapped into a QMU, and the QMU will basically pass down the invalidation information. But we want to make sure those are not, say, Intel specific descriptors being just passed on as raw data. So we have been going like a back and forth on whether to do this in an old generic data format versus having some kind of a hybrid data, meaning have some generic data, also have some vendor specific data embedded here. But I think the current proposal I'm leaning to is to have all generic data after being reviewed, because it gives because we pass through so many layers of software VFIO and QMU, so by having generic data, each layer can inspect with their local knowledge and then sanitize the data instead of everything just passed down to IOMMU, which may have very limited knowledge about what the data is. So I really want to get a kind of a consensus on this, whether this is kind of the way to go to have all generic data.
What I didn't like about the initial post was that it passed these vendor-specific information through the API up and down. So I can see the need for the pass ID table because it's per nature vendor specific, but for everything else like invalidation descriptors or so, I think we should find a generic way to pass that through the API.
And this is generic. I mean,
right.
That's you agree, kind of, to do the generic way. Yeah.
Yeah. Although having said that, I mean, page table formats are tightly tied to TLB invalidation, and page table formats are not generic. So right. there's certainly things for ARM TLB invalidation which you cannot express using those structs you've got there, and there may be future extensions which would also require extensions to this struct. So you may end up with something like the perf event structure, where it started out generic.
Sorry.
You may end up with a structure where it started out generic, like I'm thinking of one of the perf event structures, but then people just keep adding extra unions to it, and it in my opinion, it's the worst of both worlds.
Mm. So you're saying...
I'm saying that generic's great, but I'm not sure fits the bill, really, for TLB invalidation, because it's not a generic thing.
Yeah. Well, that's why I have a kind of a header file here, a header portion of the data, which is kind of mandatory and a common. And then for the rest, and we can modify, say, the version of the invalidation info and to add a further extension to it.
Yeah, but I think you'll end up ultimately with a great big struct where some of it's actually Intel specific, some of it's ARM specific, some of it's specific to something else.
Right, right.
And I mean, is that better? I don't know. Probably not.
Okay.
And another question, maybe as a high level thing, will the whole design allow to run, for example, the .io IOMU that ARM is working on top of an mm-hmm. Intel IOMU?
Yeah.
Would that be allowed with the API? Because this bind PassID table thing is pretty IOMU specific, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because as long as it's a superset, it should be fine.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it would be really good to limit the number of required IOMU emulations we
right.
Need to have in QMU to make this work everywhere where SVM is supported.
Yeah, you mean the paravirtualized has to emulate different.
Yeah, so that the paravirtualized IOMU can work on basically all SVM implementations. That would be great.
Mm.
If we can design, I think we should design the API so that this is possible.
And to accommodate all the models that's in paravirtualized environment, is it? I mean, I guess
you can't.
Can you give an example? Like,
it doesn't work yet. It doesn't work yet with your bind PassID table interface because this is by nature vendor specific. But
But you don't have to use it. I don't know what's the solution.
If you consider the IOMU and the wires like shadowing of the PassID table, for example,
right.
This is different. In our case, you have a bind PassID table.
Right. The format of the PassID table is vendor specific, so that's why you pass the format information of the table down through the API, right?
Right.
To do the matching that you don't bind an AMD PassID table to an Intel IOMU, okay. Which obviously.
So we should also provide some extensibility to the bind PassID table to accommodate, I guess, other cases like shadowing. Is that the case?
Or yeah, that could be one option. Yes.
Okay, so it's still reused.
Another option could be that the .io IOMU has a field which tells the driver which format it has to create. That could also be a solution, or shadowing.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what John can provide.
Yeah, I think just to pick up on that, I completely agree that having the virtio IOMU work for different underlying hardware is, you know, that has to be the case. Otherwise, there's no point in having it. But when the underlying hardware has things like different page table formats, if that page table is being created and maintained by the guest, which it will be, we do need a way to say, hey, this virtio IMMU supports these page table formats with these different parameters. And then there will be, I mean, you're not going to have a generic page table struct that gets passed around, right?
Yeah,
and I think the TLB invalidation should just be treated the same way because it's tightly tied to the page table format being used.
Right.
One thing I'd really like to avoid seeing, though, is opaque data being passed through. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
even if we have
that
vendor data, let's fully define it through the API.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, our earlier version, just kind of little history, had an opaque data. Yeah, so. And one more thing is, question is to clarify here is, do we do this on a per device basis or per group? As IOMMU group is the finest grant we can assign to a guest and to provide isolation. So my preference here is to do per device, but let the VFIO layer does the kind of the iteration if they need to, because we need to support both VFIO and other in-kernel use cases.
As we were talking yesterday, the group kind of defines the granularity of your IOMMU context. So if we're talking about a VM that has a virtual IOMMU, then devices that are in the same group necessarily have the same IOMMU context for that VIOMMU. So I guess my preference would be that we're looking more at a group and trying to drive towards singleton groups.
Okay, for Intel hardware, I mean, there will always be per device per group. And then I don't know if ARM has the need for, I mean.
But that depends on the topology of the bus. So groups incorporate the isolation of the parent device. So if you have a root port that doesn't support isolation, then you will necessarily include that root port in your group.
So the ACS is device capability. When you have ACS, and then for the future product, they will always have ACS. Would have satisfied the
per group? You need ACS all the way up from the endpoint to the IOMMU to have full isolation.
Mm, I see.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff here is context properties, right? They're properties on the context. And so doing it per group is the only thing that makes sense, I think. And if your groups are singletons, fine, it's not even a question. But.
Okay.
I have another thought about CSVM page table formats supported by the virtual IOMMU. Couldn't this always be the host page table format supported by the processor? It's basically that for the x86 ones and probably the same on ARM, right?
Host and guest can have different formats for us.
And the IOMMU supports all of them? But you know in which mode your guest is running on, right? So you can configure the IOMMU to use that.
It's a bit dodgy because it's like walking guest page tables, right? It can change as you're trying to inspect what it's doing.
Yeah, okay, that's the problem.
With lots and lots of different registers and things you'd have to go and poke around to try and work out exactly.
But this is done by
the address bits is it using, what page sizes is it using?
This is done by the hardware, right? So page table walking.
Right, but you need to go and know what.
Yeah, right, yeah. So, okay. But besides that, you don't need any other information, right?
So you can encapsulate the information that you need, and we've already done that actually in the Linux kernel in the IO page table code I have. So I have like, here's what you need for an ARM page table in this format, and there's like a bunch of register values, and then page tables in some format, and they're parameterized by things like page size, things like input address size, output address size, whether you've got hardware dirty bit, all this kind of stuff.
But that would basically be the information that goes into the passive table, right? It's the root of the page tables and the rest of the metadata required to interpret.
Yeah. But you still want to know, for the case where the guest is going to say, hey, here's my context, you still want to know what that is.
So you need to pass the page table format down, that's basically it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That shouldn't be too difficult.
It's not just an enum, though, because it's a big fan out of configuration.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, you could enumerate them all, but you wouldn't want to do that.
Okay, yeah.
Jakub, in the interest of giving everyone a chance to speak, I would ask you to wrap up with the main questions you have. I mean,
I'm sorry?
Well, to give everyone a chance to speak, if you can try to wrap up, I mean, with the outstanding questions you have for your presentation.
Sorry, I didn't get
that. I mean, well, we are short in time.
Oh, short
if
time,
you
okay.
Can,
Yeah, just one last question. I mean, one last thing is the fault reporting. And I think this is to handle the recoverable page fault. So when the page fault happens, the interrupt happen, delivered to the physical IOMMU, we want to be able to propagate the page fault to the guest eventually through VFIO and QMU. So this is the kind of the proposed interface and the page fault event. the page fault event is basically modeled after the PCI ATS spec. So this way, it's generic to all the IOMMU models. And it also supplies a, when it does the lookup and supplies a struct device to the caller. But the implementation here is through a kind of per group a notifier in this case. Well, I know early on, I think David, you proposed to use device ops and device level callback. It's kind of modeled after PCI error reporting. And I think that also works, but the thing is, I think since struct device already has an entry or IOMMU group, we can just kind of pack along, so reduce the overhead for the device that don't use this. And here we also combine the fault and combine the recoverable fault and the non-recoverable fault. So similarly, on the opposite direction, there'll be page response when the page request is eventually received in the guest, and the guest will fault in the pages and send the page response back. And then here is also modeled after the PCI ADS spec, and then it passed the data, generic data, and then the vendor can do specific translation to their own invalidation or the response descriptor, and send the response to the physical IOMMU. I think that's all I have. And any more questions?
Does anybody really need the private data? Needs or has? The GPU has it for the, so we know the context which, the GPU side context which generated the vault, rather than just the passive. But does the graphics driver actually need that? We don't, I haven't seen anybody making use of it yet.
The device actually puts its private data and he gets it. It's not even for the driver though.
Oh, and it's passed back with a response and the does that mean it has to be passed up to the guest, though?
Oh, yeah. Because he needs to proxy the same data. Otherwise, you would need to keep that structure.
Otherwise, you need to... Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think I suggest we go with Jean-Philippe's presentation on the ARM side of SVM, then we take a break around 3:35, and we restart with the Vert.io IOMMU presentation after the break.
I think I can make the first one really short. So there isn't a lot. It's just.
I think yours is still in the file box. I didn't pull it up yet.
I just wanted to give a brief overview of the similarities with the ARM SMMU and the x86 IOMMUs in terms of SVM and a few differences. So in terms of structure, it's pretty much the same as on x86. You got what we call a stream table, which is the indexed by device ID, and two levels of page tables. The first level is accessed via paseed tables, which we call context tables, and we call the paseed substream ID, but I will use paseed. A small difference that we have is that on the last point, the paseed zero can be reserved and used for the non-PAC transactions, which means that guests can have both IOVI and PAC at the same time in a nested configuration. Apart from that, it's pretty much the same. For PCI, the interface for SVM is very close to PCI. It's pretty much the same parameters. We have an additional mode for non-PCI devices called the stall model. It uses PACID the same way as PCI, but it doesn't use ATS or PRI. The read and write requests from devices can be stalled and parked in the SMMU, and the fault is reported on the event queue using similar information as a PRI report, with some additional information. For instance, we know which level of translation faulted. Then the driver sends a resume command, which resembles the PRI response. There is no ATC invalidation, only the TLB, and some systems can perform TLB invalidation using only instructions and not the SMMU command queue. The driver implementation is pretty straightforward because it reuses the fault queue used for PRI. The information is the same and there is no APA change. What we have on ARM, the problem we have on ARM for SVM is that the lack of endpoint makes it very difficult to merge to get the code merged. And we might have more endpoint coming in that are able to do platform SVM and not PRI, so I might resend the patches for platform before the PCI.
Yeah, I think just to add to that, we can't enable the store model unless we know that it's safe to do so. So mm-hmm. it's like an opt-in whitelisted
yes.
device, because you're stalling the bus and some endpoints really can't deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the firmware needs to weigh in for the device. So I don't know how we validate that, but we will have a firmware description of the basic capabilities and faulting.
What happens if you can't fulfill the fault because it went to an unmapped region, or if you can't send the resume command, will it be stored forever, or can you send a fail back or something?
No, it's stored. There is no timeout. We don't have a time.
Can you tell the device that that the request will never be fulfilled, that you will never resume the request?
You can tell it that either that all requests will fail and then the device doesn't send anything more.
Okay.
Or you can tell it that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's it for this one. Any more questions?
I mean, are you sharing the interface? I mean, Jakub and the Exidesis guys, and they're putting forward, I mean, are there commonalities already? I mean, you're working together to kind of reach a kind of an agreement, or?
I didn't.
I mean, the interface there, I think it's more relevant to the Vertio IMMU you're talking about later, but I don't know if for the SVM side you're already sharing some patches with the x86 implementation.
Mm-hmm. I'm also working on the host interface for SVM.
Yeah,
that's your question. And we should be able to share the same the same VFIO IOCTL, but the parameters will be almost entirely different because for host SVM, which is a user space driver, for instance, in the host that wants to bind the process page tables to a device, it will just tell bind myself or a PID, and it will get a PACID from the host kernel.
I think one thing is that the data structures we currently have in the SMMU driver are kind of all upside down for doing this kind of thing, right? So when you take a fault, it's hard for us to go from a device ID to the entry for it. We could walk the hardware tables, but I don't think we should do that because they might not be coherent.
Yes.
We haven't got the right data structures for that. And I mean, ultimately, we need to get hold of an MM struct or something like that. Yeah. And that code shouldn't be driver specific, in my opinion. I think having a mapping from requester ID to MM struct would be something that we could lift out, at least.
I'm not sure about that because we don't really need the requester ID. We only need the payseed because there is the payseed namespace will be global to the system.
Sorry, yeah, you're right with that. But it should still be not in the driver, in my opinion.
Sorry?
I still don't think it should be in the driver code. I think that the mapping of which devices are using or which passids are using which MMs should be a more...
Yeah, that should be global. Yeah. We are planning to make it global, yeah. I can maybe go to the Vertio IOMM thing.
Or we could break early, because I think this is going to be the meat of the...
I said 3 to 35, because there is an official break.
So right, so up to you.
I think, well...
Let's break early.
Okay, so I think it makes sense to break now, and then say we start in, given that we are short, 3:30, 3:35, we restart.
Okay.